Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello, you guys. I hope y'all are doing well. Let me take a look at audio. Okay, we're good. I'm actually working from the couch today. I'm having some hot tea. I'm still a little under the weather. I'm definitely on the mend, I think. Well, as much as possible. Anyway, I'm feeling better today. Let's put it that way. I'm feeling better today. But I wanted to just come on here and do our reading and to invite y'all to share any insights that you've had thus far. Feel free to share anything that's going on in your Advent season. And I hope that y'all can hear me. For some reason, it's saying my internet's crazy, even though I'm right here by our server. Let me see, or I don't know if server's the right word, but I don't know internet lingo. Okay, so yeah, I'm connected to our Wi-Fi. So hopefully it's not messing it up too much and y'all can still hear me. But I wanted to invite y'all to share with me any insights that you're having in your Advent season. Did you light your candle of Bethlehem on Sunday? I am loving this Advent season. I'm just loving the joy and the peace that the Lord has really brought me this season. And I can't hop on Facebook to make sure that this is working. Let's go on YouTube for a quick second. That's one of the fallbacks of being also off social media is I can't really check and see what's going on with our stuff. But let's see. I can hop on YouTube. Make sure that I'm not frozen or something like that. Because it's just keep saying that my internet's wonky right now.
And see what's going on with our stuff. But okay. Let's see. I can hop on YouTube.
I think we're good. So, okay, you guys. So moving along, now that I know that it is working fine, I'm having some tea. I'm actually working from the couch in my heat blanket today and just really trying to get some rest. I'm sleeping a lot and all of the good stuff. So anyway, I hope that y'all are doing well. And I hope that this Advent season has found you guys with joy and peace, and that the Lord has really just been doing something amazing in your life and in the life of your family. So today we are going to do day 6 and day 7. Let's see. The kingdom is yours. And I'm just going to dive right on in with day 6. Today's reading, Luke 6. Other passages to ponder. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers in this world lorded over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave." Matthew 20:25-27. "For the highest God above, who is and always will be, The only one who is holy has this to say. Eternal one, I live in the high and holy place, yet I am with the low, the weak, and the humble. I renew their vitality and revive their strength. Isaiah 57:15. To say that the kingdom of God is at hand, to pray that the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven, isn't simply to call for new beliefs and new behaviors. It's to say that when the stone rolled away from the tomb and Jesus emerged from within, the upside down world turned right side up. Kingdom prayers shake the pews and the kingdom lives shake the earth. Jen Pollock Michael. The Pharisees had turned the God-given law into a stale set of talking points. They cared more about their rules than the people entrusted to them. Self-proclaimed experts, they confronted Jesus one day because his hungry disciples dared to pick heads of grain to eat on the Sabbath. His response, "Have you not read the scriptures? In other words, don't you know the Torah, or more importantly, the one who breathed words intended to point you to me?" I love Jesus. On another Sabbath day, Jesus healed a man, even though he knew the scribes and Pharisees watched him with malicious intent. Picture Jesus at that moment. He didn't shrink back. He didn't cower. He called the man to the front of the room. He paused and looked past him into each set of accusing eyes, no doubt with fire, confidence, and love. Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he healed him. Jesus is the epitome of strength, compassion, and conviction. Christmas traditions can add such richness to our whole holiday seasons, but when we idolize traditions at the expense of those entrusted to our care, we become a little like the Pharisees and need a fresh encounter with the one who gives life and breath to every living thing. The Pharisees had developed expectations around their interpretations. We too develop expectations at Christmas time because of our interpretations of what a festive holiday should look like. This isn't about semantics. It's the difference between fighting for our way and fighting the Jesus way. After Jesus's confrontation with the Pharisees, he stole away for a while to spend time with his Father. He then chose his disciples and came down to a level place where a vast multitude waited to hear what he had to say. Once again, Jesus turned their expectations upside down and showed them the way to real power, life, and kingdom love. And looking toward his disciples, he began speaking. "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy to be admired, are you who are poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant. For the kingdom of God is yours, both now and forever. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are you who hunger now for righteousness, actively seeking right, standing with God, for you will be completely satisfied. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are you who weep now over your sins and repent, for you will laugh when the burden of sin is lifted." Luke 6:20-21. In Jesus's day, ego is king. It was a sign of virtue. Then comes the king of the new and everlasting kingdom. He models humility. He teaches love. He leads by example. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dismantles worldly ways and offers an otherworldly way to live. Look at what the masses do, and you can almost always assume Jesus would do the opposite. Have you noticed it? Expectations and entitlement reek of pride and self-indulgence. In this passage, Jesus calls you supremely blessed and much to be admired when you know where you'd be without him. To be poor in spirit is to know your limits and understand your needs. We're all desperate for more of Jesus. We just don't all know it yet. One day we will. When you come to the edges of yourself and your self-life shows grumpy, grabby, etc., don't come under condemnation. there's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. Instead, come to Jesus. Admit where you've fallen or failed. Confess your need. Ask for his grace and forgiveness. Then rise with great joy. You are to be admired. When you finally learn your limits, you're finally positioned to inherit more of the kingdom, of which there are no limits. As Christ followers, we serve in a right-side-up kingdom, but we're living in an upside-down world. Read Jesus's words in the sermon. Self-indulgent laughter. Picture the overfed, overindulged, laughing at another's expense will end. Their season of sin will turn on its head. But for those who've battled in the shadows, who've mourned over their sin and the sin of their land, and who've offered sacrifices of praise that cost them dearly, well, their sacrifices of praise will become banquets of thanksgiving. That day is coming. Giving gifts to the already rich is, well, fine, but offering gifts to those who cannot repay you is sacred. Want to turn this Christmas right side up? Give generously and thoughtfully to someone who doesn't expect a gift from you. Give another such gift to someone who's not been kind to you. Surprise them with the goodness of God. He is kind to both the ungrateful and the wicked. When humble awe and wonder replace arrogance and entitlement, the kingdom is yours. When you feel sorry for your sin without crumbling under a heap of despair or condemnation, but instead rise with the new joy in your salvation, the kingdom is yours. When you ponder God's goodness to you and then extend that same grace to those who seem least deserving, the kingdom is yours. Jesus reminds us at the end of this sermon that a tree is known by its fruit. What's in our lives hangs on our tree. May the kingdom of God come to your home this holiday season. Prepare him room. Mighty Savior, Redeemer, and friend, how do I ever thank you enough, let alone comprehend all you won for me? I fall to my knees, open my hands, and look up with fresh awe and wonder. You saved me. You love me. I belong to you. I'm no longer my own. Help me to break free from rigid religion and stale traditions that keep me from offering life to those in need. This season is about your kingdom, for your glory. I put it all on the table for you. Show me your way this season. I'm all in. Amen. Look up. Fast from self-contempt today. Refuse to get stuck on your limits. Next, identify an unlikely someone and give them a generous, thoughtful gift. Someone who most likely cannot return the favor. Someone who will be surprised by your generosity. I love this one. This is so good. And I think it's a great reminder that if you are struggling with sin, if you are struggling with your past, maybe if there's something, you know, that you can't let go of in your past, whether it's sin that you did or sin that was done to you or just being around sin, whatever it is, don't hold on to it. Remember that you are cleansed. You are made new. All you have to do is accept him, accept that gift of salvation and of grace, and don't allow the enemy to keep you in that guilt mentality. And I think Christmas is a great time to release all of that. I mean, we're going into a new year. There's so much new happening. And so it's a great time to just I love how she talked about mourning your sin. So mourn it, you know, grieve it, repent of it, but don't stay stuck there and don't allow the enemy to cause you to feel guilt or to make you feel like there's no hope. Because I think sometimes so many people, maybe they committed sins when they were younger, and sometimes it's hard to forgive themselves and move forward and to receive the new gift of God. And yes, sometimes there are repercussions to choices that we've made and sins that have happened. But the hope is that we are a new creature in God, and there is repentance and there is grace at the cross. We just have to make that choice. And you don't have to live in that sin. You don't have to live in that guilt. That's the new and the cleansing that's waiting for you when you fall at the feet of Jesus and you receive his grace and his mercy and his salvation. And his mercies are new every morning. If it feels like you just can't get it right every day, something goes wrong, or you know, just remember his mercies are new every morning. And so just keep getting up, keep trying every single day. Somebody says, I love this. Thank you for doing this. You are so welcome. Daya, is that you? I can't see who it is. So I hope that helps you to remember that, to, yes, grieve your sin, repent of it, but don't stay there. God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to make you new and he wants to cleanse you. Let me get a sip of my tea here. And then I will move on to day 7, encountering Jesus. Oh, it's a Jeannie. Hey, girl. I'm so glad you joined me today. Day 7, encountering Jesus. Today's reading, Luke 7, other passages to ponder. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him, Psalm 34:8. Maybe this is the year to see through the polished up holiday veneer and remember the promise of Isaiah. Christ has come to our crisis, to our calamity, and to our Christmas. He comes with good news of great joy that will bring gifts of hope and gladness as we unwrap them. He is here for you. Receive him. Bo Stern. Yesterday, we watched Jesus face off with the religious leaders. They hated him for breaking the Sabbath just to help others. It's always about people for Jesus. Don't you just love him? We paused and pondered his words as he delivered the famous Sermon on the Mount. We marveled as he showed us what the kingdom is really like. Those who mourn will rejoice. Those who know their need and cry out to God will experience more of him. Those who endure for his sake will be rewarded beyond their wildest dreams. Life is hard here, but the kingdom has come and is coming. For the believer, life on earth is as hard as it gets. It only gets better from here. Today, let's make a note of Jesus's compassion and presence in times of need. As soon as he arrived in Capernaum, Jesus encountered a group of respected Jewish elders. What a surprise to hear them plead on behalf of a Roman officer. The Jewish people were generally at odds with the Roman government officials, but this particular officer advocated for them. He spent his own money to build them a synagogue. He had a tender place in his heart for God's people, a tender spot in his heart for God too. The officer's slave, who meant the world to him, was sick and on the verge of dying. But before Jesus even arrived, the Roman officer sent a surprising message that revealed his discernment, humility, and faith. He believed that the one who was on his way could change things in a moment. The officer felt unworthy of having Jesus under his roof. The officer, more than others, somehow grasped Jesus's majesty and holiness. He knew enough to be undone by the presence of the living God. This officer also understood power and delegated influence. He had leaders above him to whom he was accountable, and he was in charge of 100 soldiers. He understood the significance of authority and knew Jesus possessed it in abundance. Jesus didn't need to take another step toward this officer's home. He could just say the word from where he stood, and the slave would be healed. And he was. Humility and faith is an irresistible combination to Jesus. Soon after, Jesus went to another village, and a large crowd followed him. he came upon a funeral. This dear woman had already lost her husband and was now about to bury her only son. In those days, a woman without a man was especially vulnerable to unspeakable injustices and hardship. With her face in her hands, she wept as she dragged her feet along the dirt path. Her life as she knew it was over. Never in a million years did she expect to encounter the Savior at the worst moment of her life. But she did. And Jesus restored her son and her life back to her that day. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Luke 7:16-17. Not everyone who encountered Jesus appreciated it. Tomorrow we'll work our way through Luke 8. We'll watch Jesus miraculously restore a man to his right mind. And the community's response? They begged him to leave. Jesus offended people with his steadfast commitment to his purpose, to seek and to save the lost. He infuriated respected leaders with his willingness to dine with those they deemed scum. He unnerved many others by his utter refusal to occupy and overthrow Rome. But it was the world he came to save. If we want Jesus to squish into one of the corners of our lives, we must know that he won't. If we're looking for him to approve of everything we do and turn a blind eye to the things we should do but don't, he won't. This begs an honest question. Do we really want to invite Jesus into the center of our lives? Do we dare give him the space he deserves? Are we willing to acknowledge him as our King? When Jesus becomes our Savior, he becomes our King. We're miraculously grafted into his royal family line. He becomes our counselor and friend. He secures a place for us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He defends and delivers us when the enemy presses in against us. He continually directs us in the way we should go. He forgives us of our sins and restores us from the inside out. He meets us on our dirt roads of mourning and brings life in ways we never dreamed possible. He ministers to us in our sadness and smiles with us in our gladness. Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's the Savior of the world. What a priceless gift he offers to the willing and receptive heart. Want to encounter Jesus this holiday season? Invite him to your party. Give him your burdens. Trust him with your fears. Obey him when it doesn't suit you. Offer him room, time, and space to rearrange your priorities and renew your perspective. He's still a miracle-working God. His compassions will never fail. We follow him on his terms because he knows what we cannot know this side of heaven. So we trust him and enjoy him, and we celebrate the fact that by some divine miracle, we know and are intimately known by the one who puts the stars in place. I always imagine that if everyone knew how much God loves them, everyone would love him in return. But I know that's not the case. Not everyone wants to surrender to Jesus's lordship. Not all are interested in dying to themselves that they might more boldly live for Christ. And so we pray, Lord, open the blind eyes to the wonder of your love. Help those who would love you if they knew you to find you this season. May they see you for who you are. Dr. Alicia Britt Cole conveys God's passion and heart for us beautifully here. Through Jesus, we inherit this trio of God's fatherhood, love, and acceptance. We inherit the affirmation from above, for God is still shouting these words of love over his children, even before we are recognized or celebrated, before we make the grade or make the news or even make dinner, before we get that promotion or even get out of bed. Father is already shouting, not because of any stunning accomplishment, but because of who we are through Jesus. We are his. Is there anything else in the whole world that our souls need to hear? To know this love changes everything. Yet Jesus forces the kingdom on no one. He wins us one at a time by his love. We choose to follow him and trust him or not. Nobody is opted into the kingdom by way of denomination, family association, or otherwise. Jesus offers us each a gift, an unbelievable, unfathomable, life-altering gift. He not only offers us his presence, he offers us his very life. If you've not yet trusted Christ as your Savior, trust him today. May God's kingdom come to you, your family, and your friends this season. May the Holy Spirit stir up a hunger and thirst to know Jesus for who he is. May Christmas miracles abound for you this year. Prepare him room. Jesus, King of heaven, I bow before you this day. I open my hands and look to you. Awaken my heart and soul. Show me what hinders me from knowing you in a way that changes me. I'm so grateful that you're not afraid of my messes or swayed by others' opinions. You're committed to me. You died for me, and you love me. May my whole life be an offering to you. Shine brightly through me this season. I love you. Amen. Today, fast from forgetfulness. Don't forget to remember that times God has come through for you. Remember his goodness. Rehearse his kindness. Know and believe that he's working in your midst, even now. Keep your eyes and ears open for even the slightest evidence of God's influence in and around you. Smile and whisper a prayer of thanks. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And I'm trying, there was a part that she put. Okay, I want to go over this one paragraph again. If we want Jesus to squish into one of the corners of our lives, we must know he won't. If we're looking for him to approve of everything we do and turn a blind eye to the things we should do, but we don't, he won't. This begs an honest question. Do we really want to invite Jesus into the center of our lives? Do we dare to give him the space he deserves? Are we willing to acknowledge him as our King? And I want to invite you today to ask yourself those questions. Are you expecting to be able to be a Christ follower and not change? Are you expecting to be a Christ follower and not submit your life to him, not do the things that you know you should do, or stop doing the things you know you should? And these are very important questions to ask. Does the Lord meet you where you are? Absolutely. When you decide to give your life over to Christ, does he take you as you are? Yes, yes, yes. But I think a common mistake that Christians are making is believing that you can stay where you are, you can stay in that mess and that sin, and be a Christ follower just because you simply said you believed in him and accepted him. And where that's true at the beginning of your walk, because you have to start somewhere, right? It's that God does not want you to stay there. He wants you to grow. He wants you to repent of your sin. Repenting means turning away from your sin, not staying in it, knowing, or just having this thought that, oh, well, God forgives me and loves me anyway. He does love you. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to stay in that sin or stay in that mess. There is restoration at the cross for you. And so ask yourself those questions this season and really, really ponder those thoughts and ponder your lifestyle. Ponder, is there a sin in your life that you continue to do? And release it to him, submit it to him, and ask him to change you. And it can be something as as much as, you know, gossiping, are you cussing a lot? And I mean, not necessarily that, you know, I don't know that cussing's necessarily a sin, but it's definitely a character flaw. I mean, especially if you're a, you know, proclaiming to be a Christian, you don't want to be cussing all about the land, you know, but are there things that, you know, you're doing in your life? Are you a wife that's unwilling to submit to your husband? You're doing a disservice to your family if that's you, if you're doing that. So just take inventory of the things in your life, of the lifestyle and the choices that you're making, and ask yourself, is this a good representation of me as a Christ follower, as a godly woman? And then submit it to the Lord. And you can't change on your own. He has to come into your life, and he's the one that will change those habits, that will change those things in your life that you're wanting to change. So those are some good questions to ask this season. And I hope that in this study and in your own Advent time, that the Lord is really just showing you ways to live and ways to invite him into your life, because with him is the only way that we can exhibit those fruits of the Spirit, that we can truly get rid of that heart of stone and to just be a godly woman and to be a better person. And there's so much peace when we're being obedient to God, when we're living and walking his ways. Is it easy? No. Sometimes do you have to make decisions that, you know, that hurt? Sometimes you have to let go of relationships that are ungodly or aren't meant for you. Sometimes you have to fast from things that you enjoy doing. Like, you know, I've put down social media except for work purposes this season. And it's been very cleansing, but I'm not going to lie. I've been wondering what, you know, my friend Sue from New Jersey is doing, or Alice from Kentucky. Those aren't real people, but just an example. You know, I have friends from all across the country that I don't necessarily always talk to via texting. And so I have wondered, how are they doing? Or, you know, what's going on? And so it has been a little hard. However, it's pushed me to reach out to them on a personal level and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on in life? How's your holiday season going? And so there are things in our lives that sometimes we have to release. We have to set down for a season just to become closer to the Lord and to do his will, to invite his will into your life and to be obedient. And so so those are some important questions to ask yourself this season. Am I willing to really be a Christ follower? Am I really ready to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed? Am I really ready to turn away from sin, to repent and just go with him and let him change me and restore me from the inside out? So I love y'all. That's it for today. Make sure to say hi in the comments below if you watch this. I love y'all, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.